the Word of God, living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of the United Reformed Church here in Linden, as we go to the Word of God, here's our pastor, Chris Gordon.
So glad that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We're continuing our study on the role of the Christian woman, as Paul outlines in Ephesians chapter 5, and dealing specifically with the marriage relationship. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That is a lot there in just that one little statement. We've been unpacking that this week on Abounding Grace, setting it against the conventional wisdom in our day. And I posed the question yesterday, why does Paul start with the Christian wife? Well, I submit to you that it has everything to do with the beginning. And we should never downplay the beautiful role that God gave to the woman at creation. You see, the great truth of the gospel that Paul had already addressed is that the walls have come down. Remember, he said in Ephesians chapter 2, the middle wall of separation has been torn down in Jesus Christ. That's what he did. And that's why we confess there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are one in Christ. In terms of salvation, Christ has brought down those barriers. And remember, that's all in context with the temple and the different courts. And really, you had the Jewish men who could be at the top and the priests. There was a whole sort of hierarchical system. Christ has brought us all near by the blood of Christ. So Paul knew with this truth, the freedom the gospel brings, that there would be a tendency for us to abuse this freedom. I mean, it's like those who use these verses to say, well, we can throw out all functional roles, and therefore they ordain women to ministry directly contrary to what the commands of the apostle are. And we have those clear-cut commands. He's not throwing out functional roles. In fact, he's calling us back to those functional roles. In Genesis chapter 2, we have to look at that in contrast with the mess that occurred. God had created man. And then what did he do? Well, he created a helper suitable to him, the woman. She was taken from the rib of man. God brought her to him, and he even named the woman. So in their being or essence, they were of the same. But in their roles, they were different. And that is brought out in 1 Corinthians 11. We outlined some of this yesterday. That where in 1 Corinthians 11:8, he says, for man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. She was created to be a helpmeet for the man. And Paul expands upon this in speaking of an order. He says, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. What he's essentially describing there is a certain functional hierarchy. In other words, we all have roles. And in those roles, there are responsibilities. God has assigned those roles. The husband is head over the woman. Well, what happened at the beginning? If we were to go back to those situation, that terrible situation that happened in chapter 3 of Genesis, where Adam and Eve fell into sin. What essentially it shows us is the terrible scenario and destruction that results when roles are abandoned and we don't listen to the Lord. Adam should have led in the home. He took the passive role. The woman tried to usurp the authority of the man. She undermined his authority. She stepped outside of her role and was deceived by the serpent, and she took of the fruit and ate and did that which the Lord directly forbid. Now, this is common. Most people know this beginning story in Genesis about how the fall occurred. But what follows, it's what follows that interests us here on Abounding Grace this week. One of the things we have to realize is that we suffer the consequences for our sins, and that there's punishment for our sin, even in the now, that God even gives people over to their lusts. It's as if Romans 1, he describes this in Romans 1, and he says, okay, you've disobeyed me, you've rejected my commands, which are for your own well-being, then here you go. Have it your way. And then we suffer the consequences of sin. We see the disaster it brings. And that occurs here. It's the curse of Genesis 3 that interests us. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, the curse is pronounced upon the man and the woman. Let's focus on the woman. And don't worry, we're going to get to the man real quick. Probably early all week next week, I'll deal with the problem of man. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. What does this mean? Your desire will be for your husband. Well, knowing that God gives rebellious man to their own lusts, we have a good idea of what he's saying. He gives them over. The same construction is used with Cain. When the Lord approached him in chapter 4, verse 7, after he had killed his brother Abel, and what did the Lord say? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin's desire is for you. Now, think about what the curse was. Your desire will be for your husband. That's part of the curse. Can't be sexual desire. That's not a curse. God still blesses that in the confines of the marriage relationship. This statement is part of the curse. What is it? There's nothing positive about the statement. Your desire will be for your husband. What is it? What's the desire? Well, the curse is essentially that now, throughout this fallen time, the time in which we live, because we are fallen creatures and because we have sin, there will be an innate desire upon the woman to rule over the man. There will be a sinful desire to control him. There is now, because of the fall and because of the imputation of Adam's sin, there is an inborn lust that is there to usurp the man's authority that is given to him by God. And if you don't believe it, look at the ideals of feminism today. It's exactly patterned after what Eve did. So this is what happened to the woman. Now then he says to the man, on his end we read, but he shall rule over you. Not only will there be an innately passive role taken by the man, but his rule over the woman will be prone to tyranny. Think about it. You're going to try to usurp that authority, but he will rule. So what do you have here? Well, as a result of the curse, we're living with a terrible tension in marriages of a woman trying to control the man, and the man, albeit passive, having the tendency to tyrannize the woman. This is a tension that has gone on throughout history. And just read the books. Read how women have been treated in history. This is exactly what has happened. While the man is held accountable for the marriage and for the home, any marital breakdown results from both rejecting what God has ordained. Now, this is a mess, but this is the reality. We see the terrible breakdown of marriages and the overthrow of the order that God has designed at creation. Now, I suppose I should pause and ask, is there any hope? Many of us want to know that, right? All of us want to know that. What's the hope here? Is there hope in this sea of chaos and in this mess? Well, this is why we preach the gospel. Now, I say that by saying a lot of people don't like to hear the gospel. As a matter of fact, to properly hear the gospel, you have to first hear that something's wrong. And maybe what I'm outlining this week is not setting well with you. Well, it probably isn't. We have had all of the ideals and the conventional wisdom of our day pushed on us so that these teachings almost anger us. But in order to get to good news, we have to first see things as God sees it and understand it and believe it as God has defined it for us. Things are a mess. Women and men have left their roles, and we have disaster in front of us. But the gospel sets us free. It's a freedom again to function in those roles that God has given, that there's an ability and an allowance to do that in the gospel. There's freedom. The Holy Spirit is given to us. So it's liberation for the woman. Now, this is so important. It's liberation for the woman to follow their God-ordained role and do what? Be submissive to the man. That's the command. Wives, submit, fall in line behind your own husbands. Submit to them. Everyone says, oh, he's saying that? And yes, I am, because the Bible says it. That is your liberation. That's where you will find happiness. To go outside of that brings you emptiness. So the issue then is the call for women to return to what God set up from the beginning. Now, this is taught in the New Testament all over the place. 1 Timothy 2, verse 8. I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in all silence and with all what? Here it is again, submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, we could pause, and today many would call Paul a chauvinist for saying that. That was all cultural of his day, and Paul was only dealing with, this is the common one to explain away these verses, by the way, to explain away these verses for the ordination of women and all these sorts of things. Paul was a chauvinist, that was cultural, and he was just dealing with bossy women in his day. Do we have bossy women today? This is not just cultural. A lot of people would say today, you're just limiting their gifts. My only response to that is Paul was as cultural as it was at creation, because that's where he appeals. He transcends culture. It goes back to how we're made. It goes back to how God formed us. It goes back to what the Lord assigned at creation. He says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So did you hear that? He's speaking here of conduct in the house of God. He says there should be moderation for dress. And further, God himself does not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And then he explains it. Why? Well, because that's how it was from the beginning. This is not a cultural thing. This is not a first century thing. This is a creational thing. Eve was deceived by abandoning her role, trying to do things forbidden her, living outside of the functional roles God ordained. But here's the beautiful thing. Nevertheless, now there's gospel here. Right there, we're given the possibility for return. He says, what is it? Nevertheless, he says, in one word, there's a possibility to have this curse and this mess overturned. When a family is built on the foundation of the solid rock, when the family structure is functioning in a redeemed way and overturning the curse through the blood of Christ, there's a new and living way. What does he say? She will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, holiness with self-control. What's he saying? Nevertheless, through the blood of Christ, salvation is a reality as the woman returns to her God-assigned role, because that's the fruit of her redemption. Did you get that? The fruit of her redemption, the fruit that follows, is a returning to the God-assigned role that he set up at creation. So this is beautiful. This is freedom. It's not oppression. It's not tyranny. That's what the world wants to have us believe. God's roles are beautiful. God's roles bring harmony and peace. May we think upon Christ's love for his church, that we would reflect it in our submission to one another. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.